pages, we just want to bless your holy name. Because we know before the foundations of the earth, you had planned this day. And in planning this day, you knew how many of us will be here. We are sure you planned the day so you can perform some miracles. And we are aware, Lord God Almighty, that one way or the other, nobody here is going away without his or her miracle. Yes. So please accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Yes. Lord, we pray that in everything today, you will have preeminence in Jesus' name. Yes. We pray that you will bless our already blessed ambassador. You bless his wife. Yes. Bless his family. Yes. Bless every member of the Nigeria embassy. Bless everybody here today in a special way in Jesus' name. Amen. And at the end of everything, we pray that your name and your name only will be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father, for we have prayed in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And God bless you. You may be seated. I will not object to a German, an Israeli. Hallelujah. I know that maybe before I finish, we'll begin to get some heavenly ones. Amen. But even before you receive your miracle, you can try. After all, you can praise God in advance for what he's about to do. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That's not bad. But I know one thing, that there is somebody here today who is going to get the biggest miracle of all. And the hallelujah of that fellow is going to be the loudest now. Praise the Lord. I know that one will get you. Praise the Lord. Our brother said he doesn't know when our next service will take place. He should have been bold and prophesied. He could say, this time next week, there will be another service.
Yes.
And if he says so, it will be so.
Yes.
Of course, we begin to ask, who will be the pastor? You can add another prophecy and say, His Excellency.
Yes.
Now, I know you think that that's an impossibility, but our God delights in doing the impossible.
Amen.
Hallelujah. When we started the branch of the church in Germany, we couldn't even hold the first service in the embassy because our ambassador then was not too sure it would be a wise thing to do. It was only his wife who was really committed. I am not even sure whether the ambassador then was reading the Bible. But today, the man beating the drums is the ambassador. So God can do anything. And so, just look out. You might get an invitation next Sunday for another service conducted by His Excellency. Amen. John chapter 9. I'm reading from verse 1 to 7. John chapter 9, from verse 1 to 7. Our beloved brother had already read it from verse 1 to 25. I just want to remind you of what he read. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. He was blind from where? And his disciple asked him, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can walk. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore, and washed, and came seeing. And then verse 25, which was the last verse read, the blind man who had received his sight answered and said, Whether Jesus Christ be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. I just want to bring to your attention seven little points from this story. Jesus Christ was walking by on a day like this with his disciples, and he saw a man that was blind from birth. From the day he was born, he was blind. He had never seen. And the disciples looked at the man and they said, something must have gone wrong with this man. It's either he sinned or the parents sinned. Lord, which one? And the Lord answered and said, it's not even the sin of this man, neither is it the sin of his parents. But God wanted to use him as an example of the power of the Almighty God to perform miracles. And I believe somebody is here today that will receive a miracle. Amen. If you are the one, say amen.
Amen.
And then Jesus introduced himself and said, I am the light of the world. I'm sent by God to perform certain miracles. I think it is the heat. So if you remove the dress, that gentleman will become more comfortable. And don't worry, when you hear children cry in church, you are looking at a future evangelist.
Amen.
Amen. So Jesus spat on the ground, made some mud, and put it in the eyes of this man, and told him to go and wash his face in a particular pool. And the man didn't argue. He went, washed his face, came back with two brand new eyes. And there were some professors. They must have been professors, people like I used to be, who do not believe in miracles. Some of them said the man wasn't blind, he was pretending. Some said, well, maybe he was blind, but somehow we can't tell. Might be a freak of nature. Something just happened. I mean, don't believe that a prophet did that one. Something just happened. Well, I believe something good will just happen to you today.
Amen.
But let's go to the 7 points quickly. I will have to be brief because it is warm, which is good news, because if it had been cool, maybe it would have been a little longer. The first point is this. Your sin can be the cause of whatever problem you're having now. I know many of us do not believe in anything called sin, but there is sin. We prefer to call it mistakes. We prefer to call it harmful habits. We prefer to call it some beautiful names. But brethren, sin is sin. And the word of God stated clearly in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Romans 6, 23 said, the wages of sin is death. Anybody who breaks the law of man will suffer for it. In the same manner, you break the laws of God, you pay for it. Not that God loves to punish people, because we know God is love. But when you talk about civilization, the most civilized of us all is God. And in order to maintain civilization, we have to punish offenders. Those who break the laws must pay for it. If we stop punishing those who break the laws, what do we have? Anarchy. Laws and order will break down. In every nation of the world, you have prisons. And the prisons are not for those who are law-abiding. Prisons are for those who will not abide by the law. If you won't live by the law, then the law has a way of putting you in the cooler, so that those who want to keep the law might live peacefully. In the same manner, anyone who will not keep the laws of God will pay for it. He might not throw you into a physical prison, but he has other ways of showing you that you are not doing what I expect from you, and punishment will follow. One of the ways he does that is by giving you a sickness or disease that doctors cannot cure. That way, you will be compelled to admit that there is somebody who has power over everyone. I tell you a little story quickly. There was a young man when I was a lecturer at the University of Lagos who came to me and said, "Sir, I have a little problem." His little problem was that he was always sweating. And not only did he sweat, as soon as he finished sweating, he would begin to smell. I think the doctors have a name for it. They call it body odor, something like that. A little problem. Such a little problem. That fellow got the point. Amen. But his body odor was so severe that by the time he's been sitting by your side for 5 minutes, you will leave his side. Because he smells as somebody who's already dead. Now, he's been to all hospitals. They've tried every kind of drugs, every kind of soap. It didn't get better. Then finally, somebody told him, "There's somebody here who calls himself a pastor. Maybe you should go and see him. Since the doctors have failed, maybe God will not fail." And he came. And I was ready to pray for him. I'm talking of some 20 years ago. At that time, I had more zeal than wisdom. Anybody who comes for prayers, I'm ready to pray. But on this occasion, as I was about to pray for him, I heard God saying, now I know some of you don't believe God speaks to people, but he's already speaking to you now. I heard God say, "Don't pray for him. He's suffering for his sin." So I turned to this. What's a young man? What could this young man have done? Anyway, I asked him. After a lot of questioning, I discovered that he defrauded some little children. He was teaching them before he went to the university. They were collecting some money, which they wanted to use for Christmas party. He left for the university in September and took their money away. And the little children reported him to God. And God decided to give him something that no money can cure. Now, when he came and when I got that out of him, I said, "Well, what I know you must do is go back, pay those children, for pay them more than you took from them, and ask forgiveness from God." He went, did what I asked him to do. He came back, and as I was about to pray for him, God said, "There's no need to pray for him anymore. Tell him not to drink cold water for 2 weeks, and he will be well." Now, we all drink cold water. You don't get body odor by drinking water. But when God wants to fight you, he can use cold water. This man stopped drinking water, cold water for 2 weeks, and he became completely normal. Amen. Today is an evangelist for God. Amen. Your sin might be the cause of your present trouble. So if you are having a difficulty, if you are having a problem that has defied solution, maybe you need to think today. Maybe you need to repent today. Maybe you need to ask God to forgive you today. The disciples asked Jesus, "Is it this man's sin that causes problem?" Then they went on, that will bring us to our point number two. Or is it the sins of the parents? Meaning that the sins of your parents can be responsible for your present predicament. In other words, if your parents sinned against God, the punishment could extend to you. Because God said in Exodus chapter 20, verses 4 and 5, Exodus 20, verses 4 and 5, he said, "I am a jealous God. I visit the iniquities of parents on their children to the third and fourth generation."
That's what God said. In other words, if your father had done something contrary to the will of God, the punishment is not going to end with him. The punishment can be extended to you. There are many of us now who are groaning under the weight of the sins of our parents. I have good news for you. God is going to take care of that today.
Amen.
Let me tell you another story quickly. Again, I was still a lecturer in the university by this time, at the University of Ilorin. I had transferred from the University of Lagos. And one evening, they brought one young man in who used to be my student at the University of Lagos, but was now doing his youth service. That's a kind of public service for those of you who don't know what it means, in the north. And he had a peculiar sickness. His sickness is that anytime he ate rice, he will be almost dead. I'm sure the doctors will call it allergy. There's a lot behind things they call allergy. Anything they cannot explain, they call it allergy. And when you find somebody who is now allergic to rice, you know that's a serious problem. Now, where this boy was working, where he was serving, there were no hospitals. And in any case, hospitals had not been able to help him in the past. So he said, take me to the pastor in the next town. So they brought him. By this time now, I was a little wiser. As soon as they brought him and he explained the situation, before I prayed, I asked God, do I pray for this one? Or maybe he's also suffering for his sins. And God said, don't pray for him. He's not suffering for his own sins, but he's suffering for the sin of his father. So I asked him, what happened? And, you know, it took some time, but finally the story was, when he was in the secondary school, he went home to his father to collect school fees. The father had no money to pay the school fees. So the father went and stole the bicycle of a neighbor, sold it, and gave the money to his son to go and pay his school fees. When the owner of the bicycle woke up the following morning and found his bicycle missing, and his own bicycle was his Mercedes-Benz car, he was so grieved that he pronounced a curse on the family of whoever stole his bicycle and said, if anybody in this family ever ate rice, knowing fully well everybody will eat rice, let there be problems. Of course, the man who stole the bicycle didn't know that a curse had been pronounced on the family. He went on eating rice and died. And the curse moved on to the son. So when I heard this story, I said, well, your father is dead. Yes. What about the man who owned the bicycle? He said, he's dead too. I said, but has he a son? He said, yes, he has a son. In fact, the son happens to be in the secondary school at the time. I said, good. Will you promise before God and man that if God will heal you now, you will buy a bicycle for that boy as a form of restitution? He said, if only I can live, I will do that. I will buy a brand new one. The one my father stole was second hand. But I will repay it with a brand new one. And as soon as he took that decision, I asked God again, can I pray for him now? God said, there's no need. The problem is solved. So we just said one little prayer, and the boy suddenly got well and said, I'm hungry. And right then, my meal was on the table. If I had known he was coming, maybe I would have finished my food first. And you guessed right. The food on the table was rice. He went there and finished everything. And he had been well ever since. Your parents' sin could be responsible for your problem. That brings me to point number three. Jesus can take care of your sins. It does not matter how many sins you have. If you will surrender to Jesus Christ today, if you will accept Him as Lord and Savior, if you will ask Him to save your soul today, every sin you had ever committed from the day you were born to today will be forgiven. Why? Because the Bible says in John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. How many sins?
All.
If you will agree to be washed in the blood of the Lamb today, all your sins, without a single exception, will be forgiven. It doesn't matter what you had been. This is what makes Christianity unique. When Christ cleanses from sins, He cleanses totally. He does not forgive your having stolen and leave the fact that you have told lies behind. In one sweep, He wipes away everything. I want another story, because this is a special day, so we may as well tell some stories. So that as you, so you realize that the Bible is real today. We're not just talking theory, we are talking something practical. When I was in the University of Illinois, as I was saying, there was one Muslim, very famous Muslim, what do you call them now, teacher, or something like that, who got born again, Sheikh. All right, I have a good one for it. And when he had all kinds of problems, so he came. You know, the problem must have been big for a sheikh to come. I don't want to go into the details of that. But he came, heard the gospel, like I'm sharing with you, and he decided to surrender his life to Jesus. And I told him, listen, all your sins are gone now after we prayed. Congratulations, you are free from your sins. You can go home now. And he went home rejoicing. I mean, you should have seen his joy. But 3 days later, he came back and said, sir, I am not sure Jesus can forgive all my sins just like that. He said, you didn't hear all that I've done. Let me tell you. Then he told me how he would meet people on the highway, pretend to be their long forgotten friend. When he finds them in a big Mercedes-Benz car, he will take them into the hotel. While they were eating and drinking, he will get one of the waiters to drug the man. And the man will fall asleep on the dining table. Before the man wakes up, he would have gone with his car, and so on and so forth. I said, but have you surrendered to Jesus? He said, yes. His blood cleanses from all sins. You are forgiven. That's over now. Oh, he said, is it true? I said, yes. So he went away rejoicing, dancing. 3 days later, he was back. I am not sure. You didn't hear it all. And then he would tell me some more. All the evils he had done. And again, I would repeat the same thing. And then he would go away rejoicing. I asked him, what is the meaning of all? And he looked at me for some time. He said, well, I think all means all. I said, correct. Once he says he forgives you all your sins are gone. And I believe there are some people here today, God is going to forgive all your sins.
Amen.
Because you are going to ask Him to do so. You're going to ask Him to cleanse you in His blood. And believe me honestly, when God says something, He stands. When He says something, it is settled. So God can take care of all your sins. That brings me to point number 4. Jesus Christ can take care of all the sins of your parents also, as far as they affect your life. In other words, it doesn't matter all the horrible things your parents might have done. If you will surrender to Jesus Christ today, even as He's cleansing you from your own sins, He will at the same time take care of the sins of your parents as they affect you. How do I know? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 has this to say. He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things. How many things? All things have become new. When you surrender your life to Jesus Christ, when you ask him to cleanse you in his blood, the Bible says you become a brand new creature. All things, it doesn't matter what they are, from your parents, from your ancestors, for generations unknown, will pass away as far as you are concerned. And everything will become brand new. That is where we really get the word, the meaning of the word, born again. It means you are starting anew. Because a newborn baby has no history. You are now starting afresh. God is willing to give you an opportunity to start afresh. Because believe me honestly, there's not a single one among us here who had never sinned. If there's anybody here who says he had never sinned, I will ask you to raise your hand so we can pray for a liar. Because the word of God is very specific. He said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You have sinned, your parents have sinned. But in one sweep of the blood of Jesus Christ, he will remove your sins and at the same time make you a brand new creature, giving you an opportunity to start all over again. I will tell you another story. Because I don't know when next we will meet. So let me tell you so many stories so you will keep on remembering. A sister came to us once. She's been married for years, had 3 children, but she was still bedwetting. She had that horrible secret. Every night she will wake up and the bed will be wet. And I said, why haven't you done something about it? She said, I've been to all doctors, spent a fortune, but the problem remained. And that I've made an inquiry to discover that my mother had the same problem. My grandmother had the same problem. All my sisters have the same problem. Then I knew it was not an ordinary case. Then I said, what happened? And she said, oh, I found out too. I discovered that my great-grandmother offended somebody and this fellow pronounced a curse on her family and said, every lady born into this family throughout their lives will bedwet. Now here is a beautiful lady who didn't know when great-grandmother quarreled with somebody. But because of a curse that had been pronounced on the family, she was suffering. I said, well, that's a small problem now. All you have to do to get out of the line of that curse is surrender your life to Jesus. If you do so, you become a brand new creature. As far as you are concerned, all things, old curses, old covenants, anything evil will pass away. Behold, all things will become new. When in a situation like that, you don't have to preach long. She was more than willing. She said, I've been looking for a way out. If the way out is to surrender to Jesus, here I come. She gave her life to Jesus. We prayed a simple prayer, the kind we are going to pray in a moment. And that was the last time she ever wet her bed. Because the Almighty God will look at you from the moment you surrender to Jesus Christ and say, this fellow is no longer under the curse. Let us put her under a blessing. And I know there must be somebody here today who will want to be under the blessing of God instead of being under the curse. Is there anybody like that here at all? Let me hear you say amen there.
Amen.
Good. That brings us to point number 5. Jesus Christ said, it is not the sin of this man that is causing the trouble. It is not the sin of his parents causing the trouble. It is that God might be glorified in him. What exactly does he mean by that? You see, God knows the end from the beginning. Before the foundation of the earth, he knew that somebody is going to come who will propound what we call the theory of evolution. Somebody will come and say, all men were born by monkeys. I know my father is not a monkey. I don't know about you. My grandfather is not an ape. I'm talking of my own. What about your own? God knew that a time will come when scientists will begin to challenge the story of creation. So he deliberately left one man without eyes so that Jesus Christ can come and demonstrate publicly how man was made. He spat into the ground, made mud, just like his father did. And took back that and said, this is the place where eyes were supposed to be. Let us put some mud there and show these people that your flesh came from the ground.
Amen.
And he asked the man, go and wash. The man went and washed and came back seeing. I know some of you will say, no, that might not be it. Jesus was just practicing mercy. If that is how to make the blind see, why don't you go and try? Any blind man you see, spit on the ground, make some mud, put in the eyes, and say, go and wash. The only thing that they will come back is, they will come back without the mud. They won't come back with brand new eyes. But God wanted to prove to you and to me, and he wants it to be on record, that he was the original creator of mankind. And there's a beauty there. The beauty of it is this: if God is your original creator, if he's the one who made heaven and earth according to John chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3, when he says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was with God from the beginning, and by him were all things made. How many things were made by him? All things. That means he made you. Now, if he's the one who made you, it means he has your spare parts in heaven. Because nobody makes a car without making spare parts. Do you agree with that? If he's the one who created you, believe me honestly, he has your spare parts in heaven. Which is good news, because if there's any part of your body that is faulty, you can ask God for spare parts. Some of you will get spare parts today.
Yeah.
Yeah, I tell you a story. I want to beat my tour guide, Papa Eli. He loves to tell stories. So I want to beat him today by telling more stories than he can tell. Praise God. There was a woman who, during her youth, was fooling around. And then she got pregnant when she didn't want to. And because she dare not go to the doctor, because they will refer the matter to her parents, she went to one fake doctor to commit abortion for her. That one did it, and the problem came. And while the parents discovered that this girl was about to bleed to death, they rushed her to the hospital. By the time the doctors opened her up, they found that there's only one way to save her life: remove the womb. So they removed the womb of this young girl, closed her up again, and she went on in life. Now, she did not tell the husband when she was getting married that she had no womb. So after they'd been married, they waited and waited for children to come, and of course, no child came. Then one day, this lady
heard the gospel like you are hearing. And she gave her life to Jesus Christ. As soon as she gave her life to Jesus Christ, something within her told her, our God can do anything. Amen. How many of you believe that? Let me hear you say amen now.
Amen.
So she started going to a man of God. Every day, man of God, I want a child. Pray for me. The man of God will pray. After some time, the man of God said, wait a minute, what's the problem? I've prayed so long, yet you are not pregnant. Tell me your story. Then she told the man of God her story. The man of God said, oh. Apparently, the man of God didn't have enough faith to believe God for a spare womb. So each time she was coming from that moment, the man of God would dodge. But the woman kept on praying, holding on to God, and said, God, you are my maker. Do something. I know with you all things are possible. Well, one night she had a dream. And in the dream, she saw herself standing naked, absolutely naked. And then she saw a huge man, like from the coming out of the wall at the back there. And the man, a huge man, had the skin of an animal in his hand. And the man was coming towards her. And she was so frightened that she couldn't move. The man of God came straight to her, wrapped the skin around her body, and disappeared. And the woman woke up shivering. But after some time, something told her, you've got what you were asking for. Today, she has 5 children. You may say that's a long story. Some of you might not even believe it. Well, I pray that one of these days we will come to what we call the Holy Ghost service in Lagos. And you will see with your naked eyes creative miracles. God giving spare parts to people. He can give you one today. The only thing is that he gives it only to those who have surrendered to him. That brings me to point number 6. When they asked this man who had gone to wash his face and he came back seeing, who healed you? Who gave you your sight? He said, Jesus Christ. What do you think of him? He said, he's a prophet. They said, no, he can't be a prophet. Prophets don't walk on Sabbath day. I mean, he's a sinner. The man said, I don't know whether he's a sinner or not. One thing is clear. I was blind once. But now I can see. You can't argue with that one. What is the point I'm trying to bring to your attention here? It is that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, can change your darkness to light. You see, there are many of us who think that we can see, not knowing that we are blind. I was one before. When I was a lecturer in the university, I did mathematics. And you know, mathematics and Christianity, they don't seem to agree. Because mathematics will say, if you prove it, I believe it. Christianity says, if you believe it, I will prove it. So they seem to be parallel lines. And if anybody came to me at that time when I thought I could see, and he began to talk to me about a man who was born by a virgin, I would say, that's great. How scientific? A virgin conceived. If you can believe that, something must be wrong with you. And then when this virgin delivered this wonder baby, of course it has to be a wonder baby, angels came from heaven to announce his birth. I would say, of course, I mean, if a virgin conceived, angels ought to announce the birth. And then one little king said, I want to kill that wonder baby. You know what the angels did? Instead of coming down and surrounding the wonder baby and defending him, they told his father, they said, pick the baby, run. I mean, this doesn't make sense. And then when the wonder baby grew, He began to perform well. They call it miracles. To us scientists, we probably call it magic. And he did all kinds of magic. And after some time, they killed him. Believe me honestly, what I used to say is, it served him right. I mean, from the beginning, his story has been rather funny. And then they didn't stop there. They said, 3 days later, he rose from the dead. I said, of course he did. No doubt at all. I mean, I would tell anybody who tells me that kind of story in those days that, listen, if you are not crazy, will you tell me why somebody who knew he was going to rise from the dead decided to die? I mean, if you are going to rise, why die at all? But at that time, I thought I could see. I didn't know I was blind. But thank God Jesus came into my life. Amen. Now I can see. Amen. I pray you will be able to see today. Amen. Jesus Christ said, I am the light of the world. Believe me, when you will humble yourself and allow him to come into your life, all the things that you think you know, you will discover you don't know anything yet. All the things that you think you can reason out with your logic, with your philosophy, with your sociology, with your whatever G you want to call it, you will discover it is nothing when you begin to think about the wisdom of God. I've always told my colleagues in the university, how big is your brain? You professors. I mean, if anybody should know that there is somebody who is the Almighty, Supreme Being, it should be those of us who have gone far in academics. Because any human being spending 1,000 years here on earth cannot learn all there is to know about mathematics. People will say, oh, he has a PhD in mathematics. That's a way of deceiving those of you who don't know the truth. Because you don't have PhD in mathematics. You say PhD in mathematics, what branch of mathematics? Okay, applied mathematics. What branch of applied mathematics? Hydrodynamics. What section of hydrodynamics? Navier-Stokes equation. What section of Navier-Stokes equation? By the time this man says, I have PhD in mathematics, if you examine him very well, he has PhD in just a pinpoint of a small segment of a branch of mathematics. You spend 1,000 years, you can't cover the whole of mathematics. And yet there is somebody who knows all mathematics, all physics, all chemistry, all geography, all philosophy. And then you now want to use your tiny brain to understand him? It's a waste of time. That's why the Bible says, the just shall live by faith, not by reasoning. And maybe I tell you another story. The man who brought me in contact with Jesus Christ is an engineer trained in Britain. Very, very good engineer. And so you would think that somebody who's been an engineer for decades and was trained in Britain, you call him an enlightened man, a man with open eyes. But you know, he was afraid of forces of darkness, like anybody. He was afraid of witches and wizards and those who were trying to destroy him. So he went to a witch doctor to prepare him a charm, something that will protect him from every attack of the enemy. And the witch doctor looked at him and said, well, this is somebody we should ridicule. He told him, he said, listen, what we will do, you don't want any enemy to touch you. He said, yes, good. What we will do is, we get these leaves, 7 of them in number, arrange them in a particular fashion, and then you will excrete on the set leaves
And now we make some powder, special charmed powder, pour it on it. And when I've done that and I've chanted some incantations, you will eat it. And because nobody can deliberately touch a creature, once we eat that thing, nobody will ever touch you again. This man was an engineer, and he ate his own excreta. And he went home rejoicing, telling everybody in the compound, "Now I'm impregnable. Anybody who tries to touch me will be in trouble." You know, he nearly died of cholera from eating his own excreta. Then one day he met Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden he saw that he was blind. But now he could see. I pray that you will be able to see today in Jesus' name. It brings me to the last point. I hope I'm not taking too much of your time. Good. The assignment that had been given to the blind man, the man who could not see. That blind man could have argued with Jesus Christ and said, "What do you mean, go to the pool and wash? Who are you anyway to be putting mud on my eyes? Where do you come from?" The man could have struggled with him and said, "Leave me alone. If you can't give me an arm, then leave me alone." And then when he said, "Go to the pool and wash," the man could have said, "You think I can walk without difficulties to the pool? I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying here." The man would have remained blind. If you want the Almighty God, the Lord Jesus, to operate in your life, you have to cooperate with him. That's point number 7. If you don't cooperate with him today, you will go like you came. If you cooperate with him, this day will be the greatest day of your life, the turning point in your entire existence. Because in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus Christ said, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in unto him, and I will sup with him, and he with me." What's he saying? He says, "I will knock at the door of your heart. If you hear me knocking, like you have heard him knocking already since we started, and you open the doors of your heart to me, then I will come in. And then we'll become friends. We begin to eat together. We begin to dine together. We begin to live your life together. But if you hear me knocking and you refuse to open the door, then I will go somewhere else and go and knock at the heart of someone else." Now, people have asked me questions along that line. A long time ago, they said, "Wait a minute. If Jesus Christ is God Almighty, why does he have to wait for me to open the door? Why doesn't he just come in? If I don't want to open the door, why doesn't he break the door down?" And I always tell them, Jesus Christ is not an arm robber. He's a perfect gentleman. If you don't invite him into your life, he will not come in by force. After all I've said today, now, in a moment I'm going to ask you, how many of you want to surrender your life to Jesus? If you say, "I'm not going to," Jesus is not going to force you. However, remember one thing. He also has a key in his hand. The key to the kingdom of heaven. If you don't open your heart to him today, when the day comes for you to leave this world and you get to the door, the gates of heaven, and you knock, "Jesus, open the door to me," we say, "I'm sorry, I don't know you." "Oh no, what do you mean you don't know me? I was born a Christian. My name is Jonathan or Elizabeth." And I'm sure he will ask you a question. The fact that you are born in a Christian home, does that make you a Christian? I mean, the fact that you are born in a bakery, does that make you a loaf of bread? That you are born in a cattle ranch, does that make you a cow? No. He gives everybody an opportunity to decide for him. And he's giving you that opportunity today. If you do not open to him today, if you do not allow him to come in today into you, when your last day comes, and it will come sooner or later, just as he came to your grandfather or grandmother, one day is coming, death is going to knock at your door. At that time, when you begin to say, Jesus, let me into your kingdom, he will say, I told you, unless a man be born again, he cannot even see the kingdom of God, not to talk of enter into it. And God will then show you a picture of today, where you are seated, while I am preaching, giving you an opportunity to say, yes, Lord, I want to surrender my life. He will say, I knocked at your door on that day. You refused to open the door. Now, go elsewhere. And you know there are only two places to go. It's either you enter into heaven or you go to hell. And you know the Bible says in hell, they don't shut the door. So you don't need to knock there. Anybody who goes there is welcome. I mean, the moment they see that you are rejected from this side, they say, come to this side. But I pray that none of you will go to hell.
Amen.
The Lord is calling on you today, brothers and sisters. He said, why don't you surrender to me? I'm your maker. I'm not asking you to surrender to a church. I'm asking you to surrender to me. Why don't you let us begin your life afresh? I pray that you will say, yes, Lord, let's begin afresh. Shall we bow our heads, please? I want you to meditate just for a minute on what we have heard today. I know God has been working on some of us. He's been knocking at the door of our hearts. He's been saying to you, my son, my daughter, why do you want to struggle against me? Why don't you surrender? And if you want to say, yes, Lord, I'm ready to surrender. I'm ready to begin my life afresh. I want you to forgive all my sins. I want to become a brand new creature in you. If there's anyone like that in this congregation, I'm ready to pray with you that God might forgive your sins, that he might save your soul, that everything might become new for you. So if there's anybody like that in this congregation who say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to surrender my life to Jesus. Will you please raise your hand so I can pray for you? God bless you. Please keep the hand up for just a minute. Just for 1 minute, and I will pray for you. Any other person? God bless you. I can see all those hands. Any other person all over the place? Just another 30 seconds, and I'll be praying with you. Yes, God bless you. I can see other hands coming up now. Just keep the hand up for another 30 seconds, and I will pray for you. God bless you. God bless you all over the place. Yes, God bless you. Thank God this is a great day for you. Any other person, please. If you have just made up your mind and you want to raise your hand very quickly, please do so. Yes, God bless you. I can see another hand coming up to my right here. Yes, God bless you. I can see another hand coming up here. Very quickly. God bless you, my brother. My brother, the photographer, I can see you. God bless you, my brother, the tour guide. God bless you. God bless you. I can see some of my children on this side. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Please attend to them. God bless you. Any other person, please? Has somebody attended to my brother, the photographer? Yes, he has also indicated. Yes, God bless you. Any person that had not been attended to? All right. Now let's begin to pray for just 1 minute. Those of you who lifted your hands, just talk to God and say, Father, you saw my hand. I lifted it in a sign of total surrender to you, asking you to forgive all my sins. And even as you are praying, if there's anyone who say, I'm just deciding, and you want to raise your hand, you too can do so quickly now before I pray. God bless you. Any other person who may want to decide, the rest of us, let's begin to pray also and say, Father, let this day be a new beginning for me, a new beginning of joy, a new beginning of victory, a new beginning of a life of Christ, a life of holiness, a life of purity. Let's begin to pray. Let's talk to God. Say, Father, I want this day to be a new beginning for me, a day that I will never forget, a day that I will remember for the rest of my life. And as you pray, please pray for those who lifted their hands for salvation. And say, Father, please save the souls of these, your children. Forgive all their sins. And write their names in the book of life. Let this day be a new beginning for them. Let them become brand new creatures in you. Let all things pass away. Let all things become new for them. Let's pray for them for just one more minute, and then I will be closing in prayer. Thank you, Jerry. And if there's anyone else who wants to surrender his or her life to Jesus, all you need to do is just wave your hand at me, and I will know that you have just decided. And then I will include you in my closing prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to your name. And now let's begin to bring our prayers to a close. In Jesus' name we have prayed. My Father, my God, I just want to bless your name. I want to thank you for your word that has gone forth this evening. I want to give you all glory and honor because of those people who have responded to the word by surrendering their lives to you. Father, please accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, my Father, my God, you promised that whosoever will come unto you, you will no wise cast out. These people have come to you now, Father, please receive them in Jesus' name. Amen. Every sin in their lives, Father, wash away with your blood in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, my Lord and my God, even as you save their souls, write their names in the book of life in Jesus' name. Amen. And I pray, my Father and my God, that from today, they will begin a brand new life in you, and they will remain steadfast till the end in Jesus' name. Amen. Every one of us, Lord, who have been on this way, who are already walking with you, I pray that none of us will ever backslide in Jesus' name. Amen. I pray that in your kingdom, none of us will be found wanting in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father, for we have prayed in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, before I pray for you, ask him, tell him exactly the miracle you want. Some of us might need healings. Some of us might need promotion in our place of work. Some of us might need spare parts from heaven. Some of us might be looking for one miracle or the other. Tell him exactly what you want him to do for you. Something that you will remember this day by. Talk to him about it now. Thank you, Father. I say, Father, every request of your children, grant to them today. Grant to them, Lord. Let this day be a day of miracles, of signs and wonders in the lives of these people, that they may remember this day and just glorify your name. Do it, Daddy, because I know you can. And I trust you will, that your name might be glorified. Thank you, Jesus. Now let's begin to bring our prayers to a close. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Now we want you to lift your hands to heaven as someone ready to receive something from God, even as I pray for you now. Eternal Rock of Ages, I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for the salvation of souls. That's the greatest of all miracles. But Lord, I want to thank you in advance because I know you are going to do much more. Father, accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Daddy, I am committing everybody here into your hands. You can see their hands stretch up to you, Lord. They are expecting miracles from you. Father, every miracle that these your people need. Every miracle they must have so that their joy will be full. Father, give to them today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Everyone here in need of spare parts from heaven, give to them in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Everyone in need of healings, heal them in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Everyone in need of children, give to them in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Everyone in need of promotion, give to them in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Everyone in the need of one miracle or the other, my Father, my God, those who want to move away from curses into blessings, Father, grant their request in Jesus' name.
Amen.
My Father, my God, I pray that everyone here today will have a testimony within 1 week of today to show that the Almighty God had visited us here in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And I pray that when you've done it for them, they will give all glory to you and they will remain faithful to you till the end in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, my Father. Thank you because I know it is done, for we have prayed in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Let's give the Lord a big hand now.